tell a thousandth of an instant in your love. The greatest words I can imagine, just a fragment of a fraction of enough. Yet my eyes look unto you, not on the body of this death. And in my weakness, Lord, I praise you with this frail and faltering breath. You are magnificent, you are radiant, you're indescribable in your omnipotence. You are incredible, incomparable, and my breathless soul are magnificent. Can this human tongue so earthly, and this heart that's so unworthy, sing your praise? Yet I know you're right here listening, as my eyes with tears are glistening, my hands are raised. And the feeling is breathtaking as you lift me up to you. And the spirit's warm embracing electrifies me through and through. You are magnificent.
He is glorious. He is awesome. Welcome today. Here we are, another Friday already. It's the 8th day of December, and Jesus is coming back, and we are glad for that. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to open up this evening with some news here as we start out and talk about some things going on out there in the wicked world, the witchcraft-filled world. Every illegal alien crossing the border receives a $5,000 gift card, according to Sheriff Mark Lamb in Arizona. We don't get a $5,000 gift card from the government, do we? And a plane ticket to wherever they want to go, and a free cell phone. That's right. Every one of those illegals coming across the border gets that. They get rewarded for breaking the law. That's interesting, huh? Popular Puerto Rican rapper Daddy Yankee told fans over the week and that he's going to follow Jesus. That's right. I mean, And he urges them to do the same, all his fans. And his real name is Ramon Luis Ayala Rodriguez. And he says, Christ lives in me. And so, yeah, you may not have ever heard of him, but he's big in the Latin world, in the Spanish-speaking world, with 48.9 followers on Instagram. So this is a big event. For people who know who this is, and for him to urge all his followers to come to Jesus too, that's quite an evangelism tool. He's going to step down from his rapping, he says, as well, and dedicate everything he is and everything he has to Jesus. So, wow, that's a praise the Lord, huh? Yeah, I say so. So 20 states are seeking to expel foreign students amid rising concerns of terrorist activity. Well, I get the all red states, of course, right? Well, don't eat Ben and Jerry's ice cream, because their official posts justify Hamas and their massacre of Jewish people and their treatment of the Jewish people, which, it's terrible. I don't even want to mention some of the things that they've done to people that they have taken captive. And so Ben and Jerry support Hamas. So that's what's going on there. Fearful American Jews, some of who used to be anti-gunners, they're arming up and flocking to the gun range as a wave of fear is spreading throughout the U.S. Jewish community as they look in horror at an exponential rise in anti-Semitism, and they realize that they're going to be picked on, so they're afraid for their lives. But without Jesus, they are, and they need to come to Jesus. Whatever it takes, they need to come to Jesus. Well, a whistleblower of New Zealand said 20% of New Zealand's vaccinated population have died already. That's right, 20%. That's a lot of people, considering that about 96% of the population of New Zealand has been vaccinated. And now 20% of that 96% of the population is dead already. They're getting their New World Order desires to vaccinate people to have them die. And surely that's what's going on there. Terrible tragedy, my. Yeah, they put such strict mandates and heavy government pressure on people in that country. Now they have a new government, but it's too late now. So these people, 20%, have already gone to their eternal rewards, whether it be damnation or heaven. Well, another Southern Baptist preacher, pastor that is, Joel Rainey, says that being a homosexual is not a sin, and it's not sinful, and that they shouldn't even be a controversial issue. Somebody's not reading their Bible, right? I mean, if he believes that, then he's not reading the Word of God. And if he's preaching that, then he's not really a pastor, because pastors are supposed to preach the Word of God, not some compromised message to tickle people's ears and go with their own demonic agendas. Well, anyway, California's new gender-neutral toy section law is scheduled to take effect January 1st. And now you've heard probably of Hunter Biden spend a staggering $872,000 on prostitutes, porn, and sex club membership, and took in $1.6 million from ATMs. Hunter Biden also's wild spending has been revealed after a fresh indictment on 9 criminal charges was filed on him yesterday. Prosecutors say he spent almost $5 million between 2016 and 2019 on drugs, escorts, and girlfriends, and luxury hotels, and rental properties, and exotic cars. Yeah, and other things that they say are of a personal nature, and he could get 17 years in prison, but unlikely. But anyway, that's what's happening there. Experts warning the Great Salt Lake could disappear in 5 years. More than 200,000 on red alert. There's toxic dust from the Salt Lake to make area uninhabitable. The lake bed contains high levels of arsenic in addition to that red dust. So Salt Lake City is one of the seats of witchcraft, principality, religious error and deception, which is witchcraft. So, yeah, there's a lot of religious spirits in that city, and they're going to lose their Mormon temple if this happens, one of them. And, yeah, they're building temples all over so they can have their little secret masonry ceremonies and different things like that. But anyway, that's all the news today. I'm going to share with you. We're going to move on now because we've got a good word for you tonight, and one that's very important for the hour that we're living in. So we want to open up in some prayer. Welcome everybody here. Thank you, Jesus, for each one of you. The Lord bless you and your life and your families. And may he keep you healthy in this time and provided for as we see things in this country rapidly changing and deteriorating because of, ungodly government, ungodly, people running things and departing from the living God. And, of course, we'll talk about some other reasons that things are happening, which witchcraft being part of that as well. So, all right, let's go ahead and step off into prayer here now as we start out today. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your presence here as we gather together and share the word and hear what you're saying to us. And thank you, Lord, that we're here from heaven tonight. Thank you that we're here to equip us for the days ahead, to be more effective in our lives, our ministries, and everything we godly that we put our hand to, and that you will use us in these latter days, Father, because really it's all about eternity. We know that we have but a short time, and you're doing a short work on the earth, and Jesus is going to return in his second coming for us, and we'll rule and reign with him here for 1,000 years on the earth and before Satan is loose for a little time to deceive the nations who have not received their eternal life yet. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we'll be sealed, we'll be with you, and Lord, you're going to take care of us through all these times that we have ahead of us. And we look forward to your return, Father, in Jesus' name, and ask you to make us effective, mighty warriors in the meantime. And Father, anoint us with fresh oil from heaven, Lord. Lord, just fill us to overflowing with your spirit, Lord, that we will not be caught up in this system of darkness, but Lord, we'll be caught up into the kingdom of God and the things of God and the things of life and freedom and deliverance and holiness and glory, Father. We thank you that we'll walk by faith in this time. And we'll know how to walk by faith as we share a little bit about that also tonight, some important things about walking by faith, because if we don't walk by faith, we have no walk at all. And so, Lord, we know that the just shall live by the faith of God. And we are the just. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we're not waiting to become righteous. We are righteous. You made us righteous when we got born again. And I thank you for that wonderful gift of righteousness that we can stand before our Lord with confidence and boldness and come into your presence and receive from you, Lord, in spite of our faults and failures because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for that blood. Thank you for the blood of Jesus cleansing each one of us. And Lord, we thank you. We apply that blood to the enemy against him, and we apply the blood to sickness and disease. The life is in the blood, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that by your stripes, you bled for us. We were healed. We are healed. And that disease, that sickness is gone in Jesus' name, calling things that are not as though they are, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that our brothers and sisters are healed in Jesus' name for your glory, Father, that you be lifted up, that you be magnified, because you're working in us every day. You're doing great things in our lives, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for being very present in our lives, Father. Now we ask your blessing on this live service tonight, this broadcast tonight. I know that a number of people have told me they don't have a good church, and so they appreciate listening and being part of this. So I praise God for that and ask that you would bless them. And Lord, if possible, they could find a good church, but if not, at least they have this and other broadcasts to encourage them and minister to them in Jesus' name. And so we cover the broadcast with the blood of Jesus as well. And thank you, Lord, for ministering by the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and honor for that. Everybody said amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, let's get into this tonight. Are you ready? I'm ready. We're ready. We're going to go for this. We're going to get in here to the Word now. And we're talking about some important subject, witchcraft en masse. That's the title tonight. And, you know, there's just a lot of witchcraft going on, but people don't realize the level that witchcraft has inundated our society. It's deep and deeper than most Christians would even suspect that it would be. And there's always so much talk, about and so much to be taught and so much to be exposed. But tonight we're going to have to awaken people to the fact that witchcraft is a very real force, and it's all around us. It's even in many churches. Many Christians are operating in a spirit of witchcraft, and they wouldn't admit that, and they may not even know that. But see, the Bible says, in the last days, many will be deceived. That's right. And so we're living in that time for sure. Okay, I remember we went to a church not too long back, and we immediately noticed, due to discernment of spirits, that something was seriously wrong there. And I want to get out of this place, with the feeling my wife and I both had, because we sensed the spirits operating there, spirits of witchcraft in that church. And we didn't really want to be in there, but we observed and saw a lot of stuff going on there. And sometimes people notice witchcraft but don't have the discernment to really call it what it is. And so they just know something is wrong here. Something is wrong here. You ever had that feeling about things? Something is wrong here. And, of course, the devil could torment you with that kind of feeling, too. Something's wrong here. Something's wrong with me. Something's wrong. Don't test the spirits, right? Because some people feel something wrong all the time, and it's just the devil tormenting them to make them feel, that there's something awful wrong in their lives. There's something going on. But no, when you sense something wrong from the Spirit of the Lord, you have peace in your spirit, but you don't have peace about the situation or the circumstance that you're in, or the place you're at, or the people you're around, whatever, because God wants to warn you. But a lot of people, they just pass right over that warning. They're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit enough. And I've been guilty of it. All of us have been guilty of that. I mean, the Lord tried to warn us of something, but we just blew it off and just kept on doing what we were doing. And then we realized, hey, that was the Lord trying to warn me. And we kind of ignored it or didn't think it was the Lord and the various things, But hey, pay attention when you sense something's wrong. Something's not right here, Well, our nation is under witchcraft. Something's wrong in our nation, and that's not too hard to see, right? But a lot of people don't see it. But anyway, the problem is it's increasing, and the so-called president is operating in the spirit of witchcraft. Also, he's operating under a Pharaoh spirit, because he has, become like Pharaohs were in the grip of Satan. All the Pharaohs operated in witchcraft. Pharaoh also operated and mistreated the people of God and attempted to force evil upon them. Well, that's what this administration is doing. So they're operating under a spirit of witchcraft, of course. And we see so much witchcraft in the systems of this world, of this nation. And people are under the spell of witchcraft right now, and a lot of people don't recognize they're under the spell. They don't realize that they're living a life under this spell of witchcraft. And my encouragement would be to, and we will pray a prayer in a bit here to break this spell and break this witchcraft. But my advice is to get out from under. Don't live under. You're living in the kingdom of God, and we need to keep it that way. We need to live in the kingdom of God, okay? We don't live under the system of Pharaoh. We don't live under the system of the evil, you know, witchcraft people that want to be in power, and they use witchcraft to control because they are containing witchcraft spirits themselves. So we see so much witchcraft in this nation. So right now the borders are wide open, and our country is being destroyed by witchcraft. You know, being in charge and up there in the District of Criminals, and we also see that endless money is being printed, and Mammon is in operation to bring us under great bondage to Mammon, and our might is being sucked out of the land by witchcraft. You know, this is going on, and it's being sent to other countries such as Ukraine, which is ridiculous to send money over there in this. Try to attempt World War III, really, and two illegals, lots of money going to them, $5,000 apiece when they come across the border. Well, that's what the sheriff in Arizona said. The wealth of this nation is right being sucked right out by witchcraft. And this is what happens when a nation, you know, walks away from God, and much of the nation has walked away from God, and we need more men and women of God to speak to Pharaoh and say, you know, let the people of God go. Let the people go in this nation. Right? See? Take authority over this control they're trying to control, and they're only going to be happy at its full control, you know? And they want more control. It's all they can get over everybody, the peons, the little sheeple. You know, they want to control us all. Yeah, because that's what Satan wants to do. He's a controller, control freak. He wants to control everybody and get control over their lives and dominate them and keep their doors open to lots and lots of demons in their lives. So many people of God are under the spell of witchcraft. Like, it is sneaky, it is subtle, and it's in the church of God. That's right. Many of them. Many Baptist churches have Freemasons as pastors because the Freemasonry money built their church. I mean, built their building. You know, God people need to cast out witchcraft from themselves and their families and their churches, and even attack the witchcraft over the nation with binding and loosing and warfare and fasting and prayers. We as the people of God, we need to break free from the control and dominion of witchcraft, not get in agreement with it. And we know that witchcraft is about control. And many pastors and Christians operate under the spirit of witchcraft because they control people. They attempt to control people. They won't tell the truth to the people. They won't preach on certain subjects like deliverance. They won't tell them the truth about the lie of the pre-trib, any moment rapture. They keep lying to them about something that's supposed to have already happened by now, and it hasn't happened yet, and it isn't going to happen. We'll be here next year. We'll be here unless Jesus comes back with the second coming of Christ, but we haven't had our 3.5 full years of tribulation yet. So he's not coming back next year or the next year, so we know that this fall, okay? But witchcraft is about control, and many pastors know better than a number of Calvary Chapel pastors that know that the pre-trib rapture is a false doctrine, but they keep preaching it because they've been told they'll be kicked out of the Calvary Chapel denomination if they preach the truth about that. And so, you know, it's about control. And you know, if they think it's to get their way, but it's really... it's to let a demon into operation, a spirit into operation. Jezebel is witchcraft too. Okay, let's just look at this, how Jezebel operates over here in the church in Revelation chapter 2, as we read our first scripture here, 2:19. I know thy works and love and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servant to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Notice seduction and false teaching that calls herself a prophetess. And seduction is witchcraft, by the way. And many women do operate under witchcraft spirits in seducing, in seduction, and men do too, of course. But to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deed, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your work. Okay, so, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as I have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. Notice here, Jesus is talking to the leaders, the pastors, because it says to the angels, and in Greek, angels mean messenger, which speaking to the pastors, because what angels are deceived other than Satan, fallen angels, you know, but the angels aren't deceived. So we see that it's talking to the leaders of the church in Thyatira and the seven churches, of which there are the seven churches, the types of that in every age. And the church of Thyatira is now too, the same thing going on. Jezebel has seduced many. And so they were doing a lot right, but witchcraft was in there too, and they'd been infiltrated. And yet there were some, in verse 24, not under the spell and not under the deception of Jezebel, of witchcraft, who had not known, notice the word, depths of Satan. See, witchcraft can take you into the realm of the depths of the demonic, and spirits deceive. And so many Christians today, and they've been sucked and tricked into witchcraft and don't even know it. Like, I know a Christian that, you know, have been fooling around, you know, they've been a Christian for years, but fooling around with, you know, chats and women. And he's getting in a situation where seduced by a woman and going to let them, and really they just probably after his money or anything they can get out of him, because they're half his age and are more, and they want to take charge of his life, and he's just willingly letting him, and he knows better, because that's sin. Okay, you don't go into fornication and adultery and get involved in all that sort of thing. But you know, some people, you know, they're just so lonely, they'll do anything, even compromise and fall into the depths of Satan, into the trap of Jezebel, into the trap of seduction and false doctrine. And so this is a period what's happening unless God's able to get through to this person. So, yeah, enticements and seductions are going on in this world, and witchcraft is behind so much of that, as well as sexual spirits, okay? And so a lot of Christians have not known the depths of Satan. You don't want to know the depths of Satan. I don't want to know the depths of Satan. But witchcraft can take you into the depths of the demonic realm and deceive many Christians today, and they have been. You know, they've been tricked. They've been sucked in to witchcraft, and they don't even know it. And so we need to awaken to the spirit of witchcraft, folks, which also includes rebellion, too. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and break out of its grip. Now, how many haven't been in rebellion? Lots of Christians have been in rebellion, therefore they've partaken of witchcraft and don't even know it, see? So we got to get out of agreement with all witchcraft, of all forms of witchcraft, including a rebellious spirit, and break all ties and break the control that it has over us, because your problems, mental, financial, family, church, health, You know, they might be being caused by some form of witchcraft, and its control over your family line or you or people, people do try to control each other, and some of them pray very controlling prayers over each other, and that's also witchcraft. Call it charismatic witchcraft, Christian witchcraft, whatever, even though those two words don't go together, but it is definitely religious witchcraft. And many people operating in that religious witchcraft. So witchcraft, has many tentacles. I remember we taught deliverance seminar in a city, and one thing we found out in that city, there was a whole lot of church splits went on in that city. And, as we travel around the nation, we found out that has happened in various locales and various church communities. Painful, devastating church splits in this particular city. So awful and demonic that some Christians wouldn't even go back to church anymore, and they even some of them turned from the faith. One had a pastor, and I know him and his adult son. They both turned away from the faith. And so that city in particular was certainly in the clutches of certain witchcraft demons that were operating and bringing about church destruction, separation of the saints. And probably witchcraft has been operating in your city where you live. But, the Lord showed me this spirit of witchcraft is in a lot of churches today. And I do believe that that is the case. And I have seen it lately in operation in several. And so in one city that I pastored in, a large church there had a major attack. Their pastor, had to step down from the ministry for sexual improprieties. And this is a common thing. And some pastors don't step down. They just keep on with their sexual sin. And the last pastor had to leave this particular church as well for various stuff along similar lines. So, there's witchcraft operating and a curse on that particular church, and many other churches operate under curses because they don't know that the witches have come into their churches and are cursing their churches. They don't know that somebody has put curses upon them. So we need to be on guard because witchcraft sabotages the works of God and infiltrates Christians' lives and churches and homes and families and jobs, looking for weak places or simply will block spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, block you from reading the Bible, block you from getting into the things of God, okay? And so, they look at their lives and they say, why is this stuff happening to me? It seems like there's no reason for it. There's no logic to it. There's no reason to it. Well, that's because it's a work of evil spirit. It's a work of witchcraft. And there's no logical reason for things to be happening. There's a spiritual reason. There's demons behind it. There's evil spirits behind it. So it's not just happening for no reason. We know that things don't just happen for no reason. There's a reason that things that happen that happen. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, these spirits have set themselves up in spiritual wickedness in high places. They set themselves up to rule over the earth through witchcraft. And there are many kinds of witchcraft in operation. And so we need to be taught about this. We need to be on guard against it and not come under the spell of witchcraft in any way, shape, or form. Okay? So many Christians have become pawns of evil spirits, and they are controlled by them. And God has shown me that at a certain church, that a number of women and some men are deceived and operating in witchcraft and thinking that it is spiritual. Now, I've come across this many times. I've been to churches and seen this in operation quite often. And we saw that the women were fully running the church in a number of these situations. And they even ran, if they had a male pastor, they ran him too and controlled him. That's right. I know one in particular that two women control, you know, the pastor and his wife. I know of another where a bunch of women control the pastor and his wife. And I know of one that all women are controlling the church, and they have a woman's pastor as well. So, and I could go on and on. It's so many over the years that I could talk about. And, well, it's not people whom we fight with, though, as we just read. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. But the people are in agreement with these things, and they will fight you tooth and nails if you try to expose the devils in them. In many cases, they're Christians, but they think they're hearing from God and operating under the Holy Spirit, but it's an unholy spirit, okay? And not that they aren't saved. Some of them are certainly saved, but some of them are not. And if they continue, well, you heard what Jesus had to say to the church that entertained that Jezebel and let that Jezebel spirit be in operation there. So in reality, people need to develop discernment, folks. A lot of people just simply lack discernment to see the true spiritual picture of things that are happening. And so the true spiritual reality, the true reality, is, which is the spiritual reality, and that's what we need to be able to see. And America's in a dark place, and it is a dark country controlled by witchcraft. That is a ruling spirit over this nation, okay? We need to be aware that this, and these spirits require sacrifices. Abortion is sacrifice to witchcraft and the occult and to Satan, okay? So we need to recognize that. That it's the spiritual ruler of the darkness of this age, folks. And we need to be aware of this. Now, there's a large number of undercover witches and Jezebel spirits. They look just like normal people, normal Christians even. People you see and talk to at the grocery stores or at the mall or whatever, at work and in the government, in the ruling of cities in this nation. They're in government. And really, only through strong discernment of spirit would you even be able to recognize them and what they're about and what they're involved in. It's someone you may talk to and regularly and not even know that they're operating under that spirit, see? So you need to pray for discernment of spirit to be in stronger operation in your life, see? So a lot of Christians, I mean, they just don't have that kind of discernment, see? And a lot of Christians will tell each other good luck. Well, that's witchcraft too. I don't want a good luck. I don't want to be lucky. I don't want to, you know, well, you might be lucky. Yeah, but break that curse. I'm not going to be lucky. I don't want to deal with Satan and his luck spirits, his witchcraft. That's witchcraft. I don't want anything to do with that. I cancel that assignment when somebody tells me that. Now, I don't want good luck. I don't want to hear that. No, I want to be blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, not the luck of the Lord or the luck of the Irish or, you know, the four-leaf clover, any of that baloney that a lot of Christians operate in and believe, and they tell each other, good luck. Really? You want Satan involved in your life? Tell him good luck then. I don't want that in my life. I break that curse. I've canceled that assignment in Jesus' name. And a lot of things that people tell you in this world, you just need to immediately say under your breath, I cancel that assignment. I break that word curse. I cancel that in Jesus' name. I don't receive that in Jesus' name. See? You're just going to have to learn to do that, because otherwise they're releasing stuff at you, and the devil knows exactly what he's doing through their mouth. But they don't know what they're doing. They think they're paying you a compliment or speaking something nice to you or something. But you know what? The demons that use their tongue, they know exactly what they're saying. And they know exactly, you know, what they're trying to accomplish there. And you need to recognize that. It's just not normal conversation. It's just not, oh, just blow that off. It's just people talking. It means nothing. Oh, it means something. Everything means something, folks. There's nothing without a purpose. There's nothing without, you know, that's sent without a reason or a mission. You know, words have missions, and their missions are often to destroy and bring destruction and release demons and release witchcraft into people's lives. And people don't have the discernment to recognize what's going on. And it's time that we do. And it's time that we learn to break these things and cancel these assignments. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay? So really, seek God until you get more discernment. And most Christians won't pay that kind of price. Okay? They won't do it because it will cost you more than Christians are willing to pay today. You're comfortable. You know, people are comfortable where they're at. They don't want to pay the price to get out of the clutches of witchcraft. And that's sad because they're in the clutches of witchcraft in some areas that they don't even know it, see. Witchcraft flows out of Hollywood and it flows out of D.C. I mean, it's holding our churches back. It flows through many denominations today as well. The religious spirits of witchcraft of religion too, operate through many churches today and denominations at denominational headquarters. Don't think that it isn't holding you back and holding on to you in some areas of your life if you haven't got delivered from it. Don't fool yourself, see? Don't live in a fool's paradise, right, as the old saying goes, see? Because we're living in the USA today, right? And we are, you know, under the influence. If we live in this country, you're under the influence, and you need to be breaking that influence off your life on a regular basis and not put up with that. These are important things to take care of in your life. Let's go to Acts. Chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, and let's look at verses 16 through 18 here. And it came to pass when we went to prayer, as we went to prayer. Notice they were going to prayer, and here comes witchcraft. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. But notice when it came to pass, when we went to prayer. Notice, you ever get resistance when you go to pray? That's how it started out. See, this spirit showed up when they were going to prayer. And there are many spirits that will show up against your life when you try to accomplish something spiritual. Like today, I knew I was going to be exposing witchcraft tonight. That was my plan to speak about. And so I got attacked several times because the witchcraft doesn't want to be exposed. And when you go to pray and get close to Jesus, then here comes this spirit of witchcraft attacking. See, try to come and attack you. See, this spirit is a hindering spirit. It is a blocking spirit. It wants to block them from praying. Notice Paul was grieved. This spirit, day in, day out, was attacking and grieving. Finally, it was grieving the Holy Spirit in him, and it was grieving Paul. So finally, he said, I've had enough of this spirit, and he turned around and did something about it. And when are you going to have enough that you're going to turn around and do something about it? See, we need to come to a place where we turn around and do something about it. And I did today. I was rebuking this spirit, rebuking it, and praying in tongues for about 10, 15 minutes and rebuked this spirit, bound this spirit up, and enough of that. You know, you're not going to stop me in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And you know what? He's not going to stop you either if you'll be bold and you'll stand up against these spirits. Okay? Amen. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the power of God. Walk in it. Walk in it, folks, and be bold in it. And realize that there's really, we walk in great power, but we have to walk in it, see? I mean, if you don't walk in it, just because you have it doesn't mean you're going to walk in it, see? You've got to walk in it. It was a religious spirit, see? So look out for those religious spirits because it's a witchcraft. It's rooted in witchcraft. And witchcraft is around us attempting to influence us and to influence our lives and our spiritual growth. And so we need to grow aware. Ever, You know, the Bible says that people in these last days went into silly women. They were controlled by witchcraft, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, that's witchcraft. A lot of people are in churches today. They're ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, and the Bible speaks of birds. Birds are, in many cases, they're demons. And there are many filthy birds. There are many birds that, you know, coming around demons of witchcraft trying to get in the way of people's lives and bring in witchcraft and fly in with witchcraft. And so we need to fight and persist, and we need to target the witchcraft that's sent against us in our families, our churches, our jobs, wherever, whatever's involved, our possessions. And we can see a change, but witchcraft has to be bound. It has to be defeated. It has to be cast out. It has to be brought under the authority of the name of Jesus and the Word of God. So you've got to be bold. You've got to speak up, and you've got to fight. Because this is war, folks. This is war. And witchcraft has rebellion. And America is in so much rebellion, don't you think? That's right. And many Christians are in so much rebellion. Yeah. And really, you might have some rebellion yourself that needs to go, right, that you've not dealt with in your life. And so if you do, you need to cast it out. You need to get rid of it. And it's important to unmask Satan, right, and dislodge these rebellious spirits, because rebellion is dangerous. To be living under rebellious spirits is a dangerous place to be as a Christian, because it's an open door for other spirits to come in. You think only one spirit is going to be there if you have rebellion? No, no. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, right? So there's the open door for witchcraft right there. And then other spirits will come in too. You remember that scripture. It speaks of several different spirits there, even in just that scripture alone. So be on guard if there's been rebellion in your life, and deal with it and stop it, okay? Because it can be very, very dangerous to your walk with God and very much a hindrance to you. Let's go read a couple more scriptures. Psalm 68:6. Psalm 68:6. Here we are. Okay. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. See, so the danger of rebellion is great. Okay? And so what is in America today? What is in some of your lives right now? Have you been in a dry place? It could be there's some witchcraft there. Right? Because when there's witchcraft, they dwell in a dry place. And if you're dwelling in that dry place right now, they're dwelling in that dry land. It could be that you need to examine, do you have rebellion? Do you have witchcraft? If so, let's go over to Ezekiel 2. Look at another one here. Ezekiel chapter 2. And let's read verse 3 and 4 here. It says, "And he said unto me, Son of Man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation." Now, if the whole nation of Israel was rebellious, then what do you think about America today? "And that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-necked, stiff-hearted, I mean. I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord." Let's keep reading. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee." See, briars and thorns accompany witchcraft. See, when there's witchcraft, when there's rebellion, there's witchcraft. And when there's witchcraft and rebellion, there's briars and thorns. Okay? And thou dost dwell among scorpions. There's scorpions there. They bite like scorpions. Witchcraft can bite you like scorpions. Right? and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee. So, interesting here. You see, Israel was a very rebellious house, and America is a very rebellious house. In fact, the whole world lies in rebellion. Much rebellion in this world today, and you know that. You've seen it, and you've been rebellious. Many of us have. I've been rebellious in the past. I get deliverance for that. Okay, but I'm not beyond checking myself and making sure there's none, you know, because you might peel one layer of the onion off and there's another layer deeper down and you've not already faced that layer yet. Deliverance is like that. You're peeling layers of an onion off and you get a little rejection off, you know, at the beginning, and then you realize there's more rejection, another layer comes off, and then there's deeper rejection, and then there's more rejection into that. Here you keep peeling layers off until you can get to the bottom and get those root spirits out. Amen. And so, hey, take authority in your home over you and your family, your children. Yeah. Because witchcraft has infiltrated and saturated this nation. Rebellion has saturated this nation, and religious spirits, you know, rule over the nation. I mean, they rule over many denominations. They rule over the cult. They rule over Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, and Christian Scientists, and, you know, a number of other false religions out there. And some of you have had hidden rebellion all your life in your life, see? And you've been stubborn and determined to have things your own way. You know, and that opens up to witchcraft. And you know, you hear what you want to hear, and you do what you want to do, right? And many people that are Christians just can't see it though. And God is going to have to show you that. How many know that God tried to show a lot of Christians a lot of things, and how many know they haven't received it? Yeah, they haven't had ears to hear what the Spirit of God is trying to tell them and how he's trying to admonish them, exhort them, and correct them. But ask yourself, am I dwelling in a dry land? Well, if you are, it's probably some rebellion there, probably some witchcraft there. So part of, you know, stopping witchcraft, you know, especially in our lives as Christians, is dealing with any rebellion that we might have in us still, see? So do you think that we can win this battle? Do you think you could win this battle that facing these things? Absolutely you can, right? Jesus gave us power and authority over every wicked spirit, not to mention, you know, what he says, that this is the victory, even our faith. Also here, what does it say, 1 John 3:8? Let's read it, 3:8. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. See? So here we see that we can walk in that destruction of the works of the devil. And we need to be doing that, folks. We need to be doing that. Amen? Amen. I believe that, see? And that's why I'm sharing these things with you tonight. And yeah, we can win because Jesus gained the victory. He came on the cross and gained that victory. But we're going to have to bring that victory home to our situation, to our circumstances, to each of our families, to each of ourselves, to our town, our city, our nation, our churches. We need to wake up and engage this vicious, snarly enemy. Okay? He is vicious. And so, you know, this spirit is hindering people from getting in the Word, from praying, as it tried to do Paul. They were going to prayer, and here this spirit shows up, see? It's witchcraft starts operating. This is war, folks. It's engulfing the church today. It's engulfing our country, unbelievers and believers. And where there is witchcraft, there's also a lot of other evil works. That's right. Such as lust, such as poverty. Yeah, lots of, you go into a person's home and it's just such a mess all the time. There's probably a spirit of, poverty and witchcraft in operation. Yeah, disarray, confusion, blockages. These are witchcraft spirits, folks, rooted in witchcraft. They can be rooted in other things too sometimes, but they're rooted definitely in witchcraft. And so we need to be aware of that. Now I want to talk to you, about walking through this thing in faith, but let's just pray this prayer right now. Just say, in the name of Jesus, I come against all witchcraft in me. I come in the blood of Jesus, bind this spirit of witchcraft and silence it now. I send the warring angels of God to chain up this spirit. I forbid you to operate any further in me, in Jesus' name. And I cancel every assignment of witchcraft and rebellion in my life. And I command all deception to come out too. I cast you out of me, my house, my church, in Jesus' name. That's right. I release myself from blindness, from not being able to see true spiritual conditions of myself and other people. Yes, convict people of witchcraft and the dark works and the depths of Satan. I cast you out in Jesus' name, and I cast out rebellion, all hidden rebellion, come to the surface in Jesus' name. Go. I command you to go. I break every dark curse over myself and my family, my children. Witchcraft, you are cursed. Go. Loose me. Loose my children, my family, in Jesus' name. Loose my pastor, my church. I cover my church, my city, in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Okay. So just pray that prayer. Amen. And go through that. And keep on until you get the manifestations and get these things going out of there and get free from this. Because this is war. And see, no deliverance will progress without walking in it into faith. You've got to believe that you're going to be delivered. You've got to believe that these kind of prayers work in your situation. Because everything you receive is by faith. See? The just shall live by faith, but they're not understanding it correctly in a lot of cases. So I want to talk about that a little bit too, because we've got to have the right connection here. We've got to have the right connection if we're going to get rid of the wrong connections. See? And there's a lot of wrong connection. See? There's no real walk with Jesus without faith. There's no real spiritual warfare without faith. There's no victory without faith. So how many of you know you are to walk by faith today? But sometimes you have a struggle to walk by faith and to believe God. How many of you have struggled to walk by faith and believe God? I'm going to give you the key tonight. Make it easier to walk by faith and believe God. You think that'll help you? There was a man who was blind, and he would go to a church where the major emphasis was on faith. It's like a word of faith church, and his pastor would stand in the pulpit and say, if you get cancer and die, it's your own fault. You just don't have enough faith. But every week when this blind man came to church, somebody would deliberately, they would put a Bible in front of him and say, read. Can you read it today? Or a hymnal in his hand, and they'd say, maybe today you have enough faith to see today. Can you read it? But no matter how hard he tried, he could never get up enough faith to be healed. I mean, no, it doesn't work that way, but still, I'm showing you an example. And it seemed he could just never get up enough faith to be healed. And so after years of not having enough faith to be healed, he was a beaten down and hopeless man, really. It was sad, right? He was taught that the size of a person's faith determines whether or not you can get from God what you're asking for. And if one doesn't get it, then who can you blame? Well, yourself. And he did all the time. He was blaming himself. Man, he thought God hated him because he was a man of little faith, right? a man of little faith, so because he couldn't believe he'd get his eyes healed. He's blind. There's something wrong with that picture, folks. And it's very important that we know that we're saved with faith as part of the process, okay? And the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Remember that? The just shall live by faith? 2 Corinthians 5:7. So we know that faith is critical. Like in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what is it to walk in faith and by faith? What is faith and how do I live by faith? See, we've got to get this so we can walk in and take possession of everything that, and fight the fight that needs to be fought. And so let's look at some things that will help you to clearly walk in faith and be in faith. And then I'm going to give you a close with an important truth about that. Faith is not a feeling. Okay, a lot of people say, well, I just don't feel like I believe. I just don't feel like I've got any faith. I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. I don't feel like I'm accomplishing anything. I don't feel like I'm in faith. Feelings are emotions. You know, they're just a response to whatever we've been thinking or doing, you know, or happening to us. You know, emotions come and go. They're fickle. They change all the time. You don't live by emotions. The just shall live by faith, not by emotions, not live by feeling. You know, if you're living by feelings, of course, we'll be frustrated. And the Bible doesn't talk a lot about our feelings, but it does talk a lot about our actions and our faith. See, a lot of folks get all stirred up in church, you know. Their feelings are rolling high, man, and they make all kinds of commitments and promises and resolutions and even promises to God and the church. I've had people do that over the years. I've had people commit, oh, I'm going to give this to the church all the time, or I'm going to give a part of this big thing that I'm getting to the church, or part of my inheritance to the church, and or I'm going to do this for the church. I'm going to come and do this and serve in this way or that way. And I've heard so many, you know, and I've seen so few of them actually follow through with them. See? But when the spiritual emotions, I mean, you get all stirred up in church, you know, and all high in the spirit and stuff, and you get stirred up and things are rolling high there, man. You know, you say things, and the Bible says, let your yea be yea and nay nay. So don't be making commitments like that. Don't be saying you're going to do something and don't do it. See? But, you know, you got to understand, it's feelings. It's emotions. But then reality sets in after church, and the feelings subside, and the goosebumps go down, and they're gone, and the stimulus is no longer there. The caffeine is worn off, and the feelings have faded away too, right? And the result of a dependency and motivation of religious feeling is an up and down teeter-totter religion, okay? Christianity, and you live on experiences rather than, you know, with no real consistency. And it'll lead to frustration, it'll lead to bondage, it'll lead to spirits manipulating your feelings. So you could see faith is not feeling. Even though you may have feelings, and sometimes there's nothing wrong with feeling, okay? And you do sometimes have feelings, even when you're walking in true faith, but you may not, too. There may be no feelings whatsoever, okay? So recognize that. Faith is not a feeling. Number two, faith is not intellectual agreement or mental assent to Bible doctrine. And a lot of people think that's what faith is, but that's not what faith is. Let's go to James chapter 2, verse 19. James 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. So, yeah, you believe that. Some teach people that faith is a matter of the intellect. It is not a matter of the intellect. In fact, you cannot figure out God or faith with your intellect. Satan knows and his intellect that God is and that the Trinity is. He knows that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. But is the devil saved? And is he in right standing with Jesus? Hello? He's not, is he? It is true that you need true information to exercise true faith, but intellectual knowledge in itself is not faith. And I have met many people that have an intellectual spirit over the years that they have the hardest time believing God because they try to do it with the intellect and it doesn't work at all. Nothing ever comes out of it with them, and they're trying to function in a way that faith is not meant to function at all in the intellect. And then trying to figure things out, try to understand it with the natural mind, it doesn't happen. So faith is not just knowing something is true. It is not an intellectual agreement or knowledge, okay? Faith is not just knowing something is true. It is not an intellectual agreement or knowledge, okay? Number three, faith will involve a decision of the will. When you're walking in faith, when you're doing warfare, you've got to have a decision of the will. And what would that decision be? Act on what it knows to be true. Act on what it knows to be true. Faith always responds to truth with action. Let's read it, James 2:20. The wilt thou know, O vain man. See, they don't want to, you know, they're trying to do things out of the vain mind. And so he's telling, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead, in other words. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works or actions when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his actions or works, and by actions as faith made, was faith made perfect or complete? That word perfect is complete. So it's made perfect by the actions that we do in faith. So if I believe that my car will drive me home, what will I do? Just sit there in my car and wait to get home? Okay, I believe this car will get me home, but it's not moving. There has to be the action of me putting the key in the ignition and turning it and putting it in gear, giving it gas, okay? And to believe that it's going to get me home and do nothing will keep me stuck wherever I'm at, not getting home for however long. I'll sit there all day in that car, believing that that car will get me home and going nowhere, right? You see what I mean? That's important we understand that. Right? Because, listen, you're going into serious warfare and serious times and critical times that we live in. And you can't just sit there believing because you'll be ate up by the demons while you sit there. They'll come and eat you up, eat you for lunch because you have no action with your faith. You have no action against them. That you don't act in faith. You got to believe when you pray in tongues that you're disrupting the demonic realm. When you cast demons out, you're disrupting the demonic realm and they're coming out. See? But how do you believe that? See? You act like it is so. You call things that are not as though they are so. See? Now, let's go on to number four. Faith is not a power to manipulate God. It is not presumption. Faith is not presumption. So we try to make God do what we think he should do. And we say we're in faith, believing God to do such and such thing that we believe in faith that he's supposed to do. And the problem with that is, you know, who initiated it, man or God? You know, in true faith, God is always the initiator and man is the responder. See, for God so loved the world that he gave, see, he initiated, he gave his only son that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. You respond to what he initiated, see? That's how faith works too. You're responding to what he initiates. Remember the Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. See, it's created by God. He's the author, the finisher. He will complete it, but we have a part in between, see? He's the author, and then we take what he authored, and then he completes it. We put action to what he has authored, and then he completes it. Hallelujah. So you understand that. So, in true faith, we remember God is the initiator, we are the responder. In other words, God makes a promise, and I respond by acting on the promise, depending on him for the result of the promise. Let's go to Romans 4:17 and read it. Romans 4:17. Because how will you get rid of witchcraft if you can't go into battle in faith? See, how are you going to do this? We've got to have these things in real reality in our life and really functional, not hoping it works, knowing that it's real. Romans 4:17. Are you there? 17 and 18. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they are. Okay? So, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Okay? Notice it says next verse, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered, or he wavered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what who had promised? See, this goes with the real key here. What he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now remember that as we go into the real reality of this, okay, of walking in faith here and going into this whole thing by faith. The word faith, in the sense Christians use it, includes the elements of dependence upon God and reliance upon God, and presumption. The order is reversed. We assume the role of initiator, and we try to use faith as a power to force God to be the responder. But that's not the way it works, see? God, I'm believing for $1 million. Now you respond and give it to me. Well, that's not the way the faith works, okay? That's not the way it works. So how does it work? And get ready here for this now. This is an important truth, okay? Faith is like eating. Someone could say eating enables you to live. Well, that sounds good, right? I mean, that is true, but it's not really true, not fully true, because you can also eat and die. If you ate poison, it's not eating that enables you to live, but eating the right thing. See, you get that? You could eat poison and die, or you could eat some type of wrong thing and die too. Or you could eat good, healthy food and live. So in the same way, faith doesn't save us, but faith in the Lord Jesus saves us. You get that? It's like a clutch in a car. The clutch is not the power, nor is faith the power. The power is the engine, and the power is God, because God is the engine, right? God is the engine, and the clutch is only that which connects the power to the wheels, the engine to the wheels, see? We need to get the engine connected to us, see? The power is not the faith. The power is God. The faith is only that which connects us to the power of God, see? Do you get that? Does that make a little sense to you, right? However, because faith is from God, when it's activated, it's alive and living, see? Faith has to be activated. And it's activated, then it's alive and living, because it is from God. Anything that originates in God is alive. Right? If God is the author and finisher of something, it's a living thing that's alive and living and powerful and coming out of heaven, coming out of God. So Luke 17:6. Let's go over there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 17. Verse 6 here, and it says, and the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. What in the world does that mean, see? That's why the size of one faith is not important. I told you, the size of your faith is not important. It says you have faith in the size of a mustard seed. Doesn't matter the size of your faith. What matters then? Are you connected by the clutch to the power? See? Someone might say, wow, you must be a man or woman of great faith. Look at all these healings, or look at your great victories and accomplishments. You know, our answer should be no, I don't have a lot of faith. I have a great big God. You see that? It's not the matter of how much faith it is. It's a matter of, do you have a great big God or not? That is what determines whether you have strong faith or weak faith. See, it's how big is your God? See, a lot of people have a little bitty God, and they put God in a little bitty box, and their God can't do anything. See? And so their faith is not working, and they try to make it work. And they try to make, the responder, God the responder instead of the initiator. No, God is the initiator because he's the author and the finisher of faith. And so it doesn't work the way they're trying to make it work. But see, that's the key to faith. When you have a great big God, you don't need a lot of faith. You just need a mustard-sized faith. That's all it takes. It don't take a lot of faith. All the faith you need is just enough to take him at his word. See, just to take him at his word, because he's a big God. You know him. You believe him. He's real to you. See, and it's just the question is, how big is your God, not how big is your faith, because your faith is only as big as your God is. Romans 4:21. I hope this is making sense to you. I'm being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. See, he was persuaded of his God. That's what I'm talking about. You got to be persuaded about your God. You got to know you have a big God. You got to know you have a God that loves you. You got to know that he's a God that wants to do all manner of things on your behalf. You got to know that it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, there's some things you've got to know if you're going to really walk in faith in these latter days here. Okay? And once you know those things, you know his nature. You know him. See? What the Lord is showing us is that if it is God's word and he has promised it as the initiator, then all it takes for you, the responder, is the faith to speak the command. The real question is always, what has God said? Well, Abraham heard what God said, and he was fully persuaded. He was fully assured that what God, the initiator, said, he would perform it, see? He would bring it to pass because he was the initiator, and God was, God said it. He believed that God was God. He had that kind of God that he would believe in. Do we have that kind of God in America that we believe in? Do we have that kind of God in your life that you believe in? Oh, my. I hope it's kind of difficult for some people to understand that part. But, it's not really. But, you have to see things spiritually, because God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And we have to see God in the spirit, because we've been given the ability to see in the spirit and to recognize how things work in the spirit. But that comes through the mind of Christ. It comes through being spiritually aware and spiritually energized. And if that part of you is not being energized, the spiritual part, then you're not seeing a lot of things that you need to be seeing right now. Okay? Abraham was fully assured that what God, the initiator, had said, he would perform. Is he your healer? Did he say he would heal you? Well, then the initiator, respond to that. Amen? You got to respond to it. And it's so. See, in the era of the blind man in his church, in that era of that blind man's church, back to the story I told you about the blind man, remember? God was, he was a genie in a bottle. And if one could just, get the right formula or work up their faith to the right level and just make themselves believe just the right way, then the genie would do man's bidding. But God is no man's butler, okay? He's not a butler. He doesn't work for us. That's the error in that, see? But, God wants to do good things for you. Don't get me wrong. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. But you got to have the whole counsel here. You got to recognize that God's the power here. And it's in his name, from his power, you ask, see? And so do you have a great God or not? That's the question. You got to ask yourself, if you're going to walk by faith, do you have a great God or not? And perhaps your small God can't do so much and can't do very much at all. So you wonder why faith not wrought anything mighty in your life and why nothing's happening when you say you're walking by faith. But your God is too small. He's a little God. He can't do much. You've limited him by your perception of him. See, you need to get in the Word and see a big God in your life, okay? In other words, you need to see God as he is. You need to go beyond the little God that religion can present, that they can control through witchcraft, the God that's controlled, you know? And a lot of religion does control and present a God that's controlled by us rather than a God that can be in control of us. It should be the other way around, right? We're to yield to him and let him run our lives instead of us making him yield to us, and we run him. It doesn't work that way. Oh, hallelujah. You see what I'm talking about? It's time to get the power connected to the wheel. And clutch is involved. Hallelujah. Time to do, you need to really know that the power is far bigger than you thought it was. Okay? We all have limited God in our lives so much. We all have put limitations and we've exalted demons rather than exalt God. Because I could go back and give you experience after experience about people who never get delivered because their demons are bigger than their God. Oh, it's just not going. It's just tormenting me. It's just like I can't get rid of this thing, no matter how many deliverance ministers I go to. And, well, you're the one can get it out, maybe, because they've exalted this demon. They've grown used to, you know, it having such a command in their lives, see? And they've grown used to this demon being in control. And their God is so limited that he can't even get rid of their demon, really? You got to be kidding me. A puny little demon, and their God's not big enough to get rid of that little puny demon? See, no wonder their faith is not working. No wonder, you know, that they're chasing their tail around, like a dog chasing a tail, never catching it. You know, they're chasing that demon. I know people who have chased their demons for years, and because they've exalted their demons, they don't get rid of these demons. and that's not the – it takes faith to be delivered. You have to believe that God is delivering you. When we say, come out in Jesus' name, God, my God is big, and that demon is coming out. See? We got to have the right mentality. We got to have the right view and picture of our God. We got to see him as he is. He is big, bigger than any demon ever will be, bigger than any deception, bigger than any lie. But see, if you embrace deception, if you embrace a lie, then that lie gets pretty big, right? Because that's what you could see. Because we have limited vision a lot of the time. And we don't see what we can see because we've allowed something to limit our vision. See, what you allow is what you're going to have to put up with in life. And if you allow a demon to continue to be so big in your life, you're going to have to put up with that demon as a big, big demon for all your life until you're ready to have a bigger God than you have a big demon, right? Than you think that demon is. You got to have a bigger God than you think the size of that demon is, right? Your God's got to get bigger than the demon problems that you have. And then when you cast those demons out, not that you won't ever have to pray and fast, not that that some of them come out a little more difficult than others, but they do have to come out, okay? They have to come out. If your God is big, then they have to obey this big God. If you see him right and you exercise that kind of faith that you have a big, big God, then those demons have to obey when they're told to go. Amen? Amen. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, what's that old car they used to make? Geo, little Geo. They're making another smart car. Call it the smart little two-people little bug that goes around with two people. Can't carry any more than that, it doesn't look like. But anyway, you're trying to get a smart car going instead of you have a 454 police cruiser, you know? And you're trying to get this little Geo cruiser. You know, there's a little Geo thing going, and it doesn't seem to be going, right? But it did. Your guy's like that 454 space cruiser. You know, he's huge. He's big. Isn't it time that you allow God to be connected to your faith? Instead of trying to connect God to your faith, having trying to connect him to what you want, and you how big is your God today? How big is Jesus? I mean, he conquered hell, death, and the grave, right? Hell and the grave. He conquered. He went in and made a public show over Satan. He went down into the dark pits of darkness, and he went in there and took it all the authority. All the authority from the devil, and gave it to the church, to those who would receive it and those who would believe it, that they have such a thing as that, which he has released to us. And yeah, we're the possessors of much more than we realize. And yet the problem is we don't use what we possess because we don't believe what we possess. We don't believe how much we possess. And so we're walking in so little when we could be walking in so much. Yeah, we just haven't pressed into those realms yet enough. We haven't just stepped over enough into the spiritual realities and believed and received what we really have from a big God who wants to give us more than enough, always more than enough. He's the God of abundance, you know, more than enough. But, you know, we have so many little hindrances, so many little demons to get in the way, so many little blockages, so many things that step up and act like they're so big, and they psych us out and make us think that our God is a little God. You know, he's not going to come through with us. There's so much wrong with you. There's so much wrong in your life. There's so much sin in your life. And they get you focusing on everything that's wrong in your life, and there's no way I could have a big God because look at me. And so your God is little because you determined that you're not worthy of anything that he has to give you anyway, because the demons have told you over and over that you're not worthy. Look at you. You're such a mess still today. And so this big God is sitting there waiting for you to call on mercy and grace and the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all sin and all unrighteousness and come into his holy presence and receive from him what he's already given, but you have not been taking what has been given, because after all, my God is not big enough when it's really your perception of your God is not big enough, right? Our perception is what limits us. Our perception of those demons, oh, they're so big, they're so powerful, they've been in my life so long, and they're causing me all this trouble, they're doing this to me and that to me. And see, our perception of those demons is bigger than our perception of our God. Yeah. Because God is not up there tormenting you. He's not doing what those demons are doing to you. So you're aware of what the demons are doing, and your perception is based on what the demons are doing rather than on a God that you cannot seem to connect with. You don't seem to be aware of his greatness. You don't seem to have him doing things in your life like these demons are doing that are very visible. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, the work of the devil is very visible in our life, but sometimes the work of God, it's done over a period of time, and you don't see it, a lot of the things that he's doing in your life. Right? And sometimes he can't do them because you've got that rebellious spirit that hasn't been gotten rid of, too, or that you have a spirit, generational spirit of witchcraft passed down, or who knows what. You know, that there are things that hinder. But when you step out and that seeing your God as he really is, then all things are possible to him. What? Who believes he has a big God, right? Who believes? And what do you believe? You believe God. You believe he's big. You believe he's more than enough. You believe he's greater than is he that is in us, right? Than he that is in the world. But that's not the way I've seen a lot of Christians act. They believe that he that is the world is greater than he that is in us. And that is not accurate. But that's the way they live by the actions of their life and the way they live their life. It's greater is he that's in the world than he that's in me. You know, that's their real confession of their walk. You know, when you look at their walk and you hear what they say, you know that they don't believe the greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. They don't believe that. See? It's not their reality. It's not their perception of the great God on the throne. And we need to get our perception right of God. Amen. If we're going to walk by faith, fight this battle, we're going to win it. And we're going to win it as we get our perception right of a big God. This God is bigger than Biden. He's bigger than all this globalism and all this baloney that's going on. This is going to pass away. This is just temporal. You know, our God going to be standing when all of them have fallen. Every one of them's fallen. Every one of them falls to damnation and hell, eternal fire, eternal damnation. You know, if they don't repent, if they don't get Jesus, they're going to, and they won't be able to do a thing about it. All their manipulating they do now, all that evil work that they do through the demons in them, it ain't going to mean nothing in eternity. See, they can't manipulate God. They can't manipulate their way out of hell. No, there's nothing they can do. Our God is so big. So big, these people, they're just like a little ant compared to an elephant, you know, or should I say a flea compared to an elephant. They have nothing. That little squish them, you know, they're nothing. You know, vain is man. You know, the Bible says it all is vanity, right? I mean. Well, they're living in vanity, and their life is as a handbreadth, you know, as a blade of grass. It's here one day, gone the next. I mean, that's, you know, people, they try to, you know, WHOWEF, they try to be the big shot and control the whole world, think they're really doing something. Compared to God, they're nothing. They're nothing. You know, they're just little puppets of the devil, and they're the puppet. They're the one that the joke's on them. They're going to eternal damnation. They don't have any hope. You know, their hope is well, I'm going to control in this world. I'm going to make everybody do what the spirit in me is wanting me to make them do. You know, and you know, they're little pawns and puppets of the devil. There's no hope for them unless they come to Jesus. And most of them are so far gone, they aren't ever coming to Jesus. They've already, you know, sold their soul to the devil, so to speak. And they're part, you know, they're possessed. You know, they do the biddings of their master. The biddings of their master they shall do. And that's exactly what they're doing. But when they stand up to God, they have another thing coming to them. God has the last word. They never have the last word. And their words are just like a breath of air. It's nothing. It's emptiness. And yet it makes life miserable for people on earth. Like 20% of the population got, you know, vaxxed, and really 20% of the population, because 96% got vaxxed, over 12, that is, and New Zealand are dead. You know, these devils, they want a blood sacrifice. They want a death sacrifice, and so they'll do whatever they can to get death and destruction on humanity. Anyway, I've got to stop here. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that you're the big God. You carry the biggest stick, and the devil doesn't even have a stick, you know, and you're a big God, you know, and you're the God we believe, and you're the God who promised, and we take those promises from you and receive them and call things that are not as though they are. We call our bodies healed. When they don't look healed in the natural, they're healed, Lord. We know that because, you know, just like Abraham, he knew he had a big God, and he knew whatever God said was so, no matter what. No matter what the contrary evidence was, whatever the conflicting evidence that he saw in the natural, his body being 100 years old, my God's bigger than a 100-year-old body. My God's bigger than a cancer. My God's bigger than this sickness, this disease, this whatever, this demon. Oh, my God is big. My God is big, 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 big. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for redeeming situations and circumstances and people that are listening tonight that they thought were too big. They're too big to get out of, too big. They feel they got themselves into messes. They feel they got themselves into circumstances. How will they ever get out of these circumstances? How will they ever come out of this darkness? But God's big enough. God's going to help them to see that, Father. Give them grace to see the bigness of their God, Father, right now. And, Lord, take them out of that. Bring them out of that. Show your mightiness. Show your glory, Father. Oh, hallelujah. That all Moses could handle with the backside of God. He could never see his face in it. And then he shone for days, so much so that the people, when he came down from the mountain, the people couldn't stand to see the glory of God on him. And they said, cover your face, Moses. You're shining too brightly just from seeing the backside of God. You just saw the backside. You just saw the rear of God, and you're shining so brightly because our God is so big. So big. Thank you, Father, for being so big. Reveal your bigness to us more and more. Reveal your greatness to us more and more, Father. Reveal how big you are, Father. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. We give you the praise, and God is bigger than witchcraft. Yes, witchcraft is a strong spirit, but nothing compared to you, Father. So we bind that witchcraft in Jesus' name and say, you will not rule us. You will not have dominion over us, and we will cast you out in Jesus' name. If you be there, you're coming out in a few minutes here. In Jesus' name, we serve you. Notice, you got to go. Our God is bigger than you. Hallelujah. All right, we'll be back in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be back in a few minutes. And then we will do some deliverance. If you're ready, if you got a big God, you're going to get some tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's see. We're going to take a song here, and then we will come back. Get rid of some stuff here. We have our time now. Let's first deal with rebellious. Let's repent. Father, forgive us for being rebellious. Forgive us for demanding and wanting our own way, trying to make you fit into our mold. Wash that away with the blood. Forgive us for having to be right, trying to be right all the time instead of listening to you. Forgive us for that arrogancy, that arrogant thing that says we have to be right. And we have to be a know-it-all. We have to, be noticed and have all these attaboys and all that stuff. Lord, forgive us for that rebellion that makes us unteachable, that makes us where hard for even you to teach us sometimes. Forgive us, wash us in the blood, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you for that now. So we repent of that rebellion. Now come out, rebellion. We break your power We command you. We already prayed the prayer a while ago against rebellion and witchcraft. Now you come out of there in the name of Jesus. Now loose the people. Let them go. Loose the people. Let them go. All that witchcraft and all that rebellion, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Rebellious spirits, come out. Go right now. Go, 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 go. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Rebellious spirits, all manner of rebellion, come out. 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 Come out, come out, come out, rebellion, rebellious spirits, go in the name of Jesus. We break your grip, we break your control over our lives, we break your power over us and command us to go. All rebellious spirits, come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All rebellion, come out, rebellion toward our parents when we were growing up, rebellion toward authority, come out. All that rebellion, go, 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 go. Rebellion towards God, come out, come out, come out. Rebellion is being told what to do, come out, come out, come out. Nobody's going to tell me nothing. Yeah, that's the attitude a lot of people have today. You come out of there, all that rebellion, go, 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 go. That's a demon talking right there, right? That would be a demon when it says stuff like that in your mind. You know, I'm not going to listen to them. Nobody's going to tell me, you know, come out of there all the way out. We break the power of those spirits over people's lives. Come out, rebellion. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. You've been called hard-headed. We break that curse over you, that spirit of hard-headedness. Anybody spoke that? You said, you're sure a hard-headed person. We break that curse right now. In Jesus' name, come out. Those hard-headed spirits, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Hard-headedness, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. All that hard-headedness, go, 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 go. All the way out. Keep coming in Jesus' name. Go, go, hard-headedness. I bind you. Go, 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 all the way out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go all the way out. Keep going. All that hard-headed spirit, we break any curses. Your mother called you hard-headed. Your father called you hard-headed. We break that curse over your mind, over your body, over your life. In Jesus' name, go. All that hard-headedness, go. All that stubbornness. You're sure a stubborn person. We break that curse, too. We break that curse of stubbornness. These stubborn spirits come out. Stubborn spirits come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, all stubbornness. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, 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 out of there, all the way out. Be weakened by the blood and go in the name of Jesus, the name above every demon's name. Come out in Satan's name as well. Come out, all the way out. Keep going, keep coming out, all the way out. All that stubbornness, go. In the name of Jesus, go, 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 all the way out, come out. We cancel any witchcraft spells that have been cast over the whole nation that people have picked up and not even know they've been under. You come out, we break that witchcraft, the spells of witchcraft cast upon this nation by those that are in Satanism and witchcraft and the occult that are casting spells upon the nations and the Christians of this nation that hate Christians, that they have a hatred for us. You come out of there. Go. We break those spells. We break those spells of witchcraft. Come out. 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 We will not live under the spells that this nation has come under. We command them to go in the name of Jesus right now. Go. 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 Come out. Come out. Spells of Hollywood. Witchcraft of Hollywood. Come out. 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 Disney witchcraft that people have come under over the years. Come out. All that Disney spell. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. We break the curse of Disney. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All those spells of Disney witchcraft and magic, the magic kingdom. We break that curse of the magic kingdom. Go, go, go. And little fairies with wands waving around. Come out of there, flying around. Come out. All those spells, you hexes, vexes, spells and jinxes of witchcraft from and magic from Disney, from Hollywood. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come up and out of there. Go, take a few coughs, get a movie. all the way out. Witchcraft spells over the nation that have come on to the church. Come out, go in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out. The governments of this world will fail. They will not stand in eternity. The government of the world system of darkness, they serve in, out of the depths of Satan, actually, they serve Satan. They are not going to prevail. They will all fall. The nations will fall. The nations have imagined a vain thing, and the people have imagined a vain thing. So, yeah, they're not going to prevail. You got to go. Every one of you foul spirits of witchcraft, go. Come out, 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 in Jesus' name. All witchcraft, go. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. All those spirits that put limits on God, limiting God, come out. That spirit of limiting God, come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. These demons that try to limit God and get in your life, or they put limits on God, limits on your ability to believe, limit, they try to hinder you, they try to block you in your faith and your thinking about God. You're thinking he's not listening to you and he doesn't care about you. There's blockages, spirits, come out. Right now, you come out. Right now, spirits of blockages, come out, blocking God, blocking the bigness of God, blocking your mind to see things that need to be seen, trying to block your spiritual view of things too. They try to camp around your spirit and block that too. Come out, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out. All those blockages, come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there, all the way out. Come on, all those blockages, all the way out, 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 up and out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep going, all the way out. I bind you, I break your hold over people's lives. Come out, 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 come out. All those blockages to the realities and truths of the Word of God, people are being blocked so they cannot understand revelation knowledge. These spirits try to block them and distract them. Spirit of distraction and blockages, come out, come out. Spirit of distraction, distract you from revelation knowledge, distract you from hearing the real truths of the Word of God. You come out of there right now, go, or you might hear them, but you do nothing with them. Yeah, they will be successful that way. They'll let you hear some things, but they get you where you don't ever do anything with what you know. And then they still have you where they want you, see. Come out of there, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out, all the way out. Some of you need to break through some generational barriers, see. If the family line has been blocked, see, in areas, and therefore you're blocked in areas too. So we come against those generational barriers, spirits, those generational barriers that have blocked you from being able to progress beyond a certain level in your walk with Jesus. These barriers, these family line barriers, we bind you, we break your control and command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 all the way out. All those generational barriers, come out through the family line. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Those generational limitations. There's a lot of Christians are limited because of the generational limitations, and they can only go so far. And it seems like that once they go so far, that's as far as they go in their Christianity, and that they can't go past a certain place. So we break those barriers. We break those generational limitations in Jesus' name. The curse on the family line, we break it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, come out of there, come out of there, come out of there, out of there, out of there, out of there, out, 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 all the way, come out, come out, come out. We break the curse. We break the control spirit, generational control spirits. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. In the name of Jesus, In the name of Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus, see, you need to be able to go as far with God as you want to go. There should not be a blockage. There should not be a hindrance. You should be able to go deep and go out into the deep as far as you can go. I mean, really, as far as, the ability is there through God. So, hey, he called you out. And he called you to launch out into the deep, then launch. And there should be these blockades. There should be these limitations. There's a reason if they're there, see. Okay? And sometimes they could be there by your own making, too, because of things you participated in and not turned away from, or because you don't ever get in your word. You're living an undisciplined spiritual life, little or no spiritual life in your walk with Jesus, see. You got to jump in deeper with that spiritual life. If you want to go out further, you got to jump in. Yeah. That's part of it. Amen. Keep coming out of there all the way out. Keep going up out of there. Go, 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 all the way. Keep coming out. Fear of abandonment. You go out. Come out. Come on. Fear that God's abandoned you. Come out. Fear of abandonment. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Right now, loose them, loose them, loose them, and let them go. That fear of abandonment. Fear that God has abandoned you or will abandon you because there's still so much wrong in your life. Well, hello. There's still so much wrong in all of our lives, right? None of us ever have arrived fully at our destination. Otherwise, we would be here. So, yeah, you have to go right now. Right now. Go, go, go right now. All the way out. Fear of abandonment. Fear that God's abandoned you. Fear that he will abandon you. Come at any time. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Fear of being alone. Come out. That you're all going to be alone. God isn't going to be there. And the devil will have their way with you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Fear of demons. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. Fear of the demons are so big. No, they're not. Come out. 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 Fear that you'll never get rid of your demon. Come out. That's a lie that the devil wants you to believe. Remember, when you do it delivered, the demon will talk to people sometimes, say, oh, I'm never coming out. I'm not coming out. You can't make me come out. Yeah, blah, 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 and all their little lies, because they lie when they're talking, see, because that's what demons do. They're liars because they're of their father, the liar. The father was a liar from the beginning. Satan is the father of lies, right? So they're going to be like the devil, right? They're going to lie. So that's why some information that you get from devils in interrogation of devils will be lies. And so you really cannot go by what you get when you interrogate devils a lot of times. And I know a lot of people say, well, I'm going to bind you to a spirit of truth. And they do all this stuff, try to get them to tell the truth, but they still lie because that is their nature. You can't get rid of their nature because you can't cast a demon out of a demon. A demon is a demon. Have you ever heard of anybody casting a demon out of a demon? I never heard of that one. Keep coming out, 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 out of there, all the way out. Go in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. All the way out, all the way out. All the way out, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Go, all that abandonment, fear of abandonment, fear that you'll be alone, that God has left you. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Fear that you committed the unpardonable sin. Come out, come out, come out. That's why God's not around, because you just secretly think that you've been too bad, that you've done too much, that he's abandoned you and he's not hearing you, and you never hear from him, it seems, because of that. And he'll come out of there right now. All that fear that you've committed unpardonable sin, fear that God has forsaken you. Come out, come out, come out, come out. This is the devil's territory where they work to try to get you to believe lies, see, about God. Come out of there. All the way out. Come out. Come out. He's not going to answer your prayers because you've been so bad. Come out. Come out. These are lies. Lies, lies, lies. The devil lies. That's what they do. Come out of there. Come out of there. All those lying spirits. Come out. 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 Come on. God has forsaken you. You're just too sinful. Come out. Come out. Come out. You've done so many wrong things. Come out. Come out. They've just accumulated so much, and now God can't forgive them anymore. You know, these are lies of a devil. Come out of there right now. Come out, you lying devils. Come out. All of you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. You did something wrong. That's why such a bad thing happened to you or your family or your aunt, your uncle, old or whatever. Come out, because you're so bad. It's all your fault. Come out, 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 all the way out. All these lies. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go right now. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, being disturbed all the time, spirit of disturbance, being disturbed in your mind. Come out of there, that disturbance spirit. Always got the mind disturbed, disturbed that you did something wrong, disturbed that you didn't do something you should have done. I should have, could have, would have. Yet always got your mind disturbed because you get tormented because you think you did something wrong or something's wrong, that somebody's against you, or you just don't know what it is, but something's wrong. Come out, come out, come out. All that spirit of disturbance is of the mind. Come out. Come out of there. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. I bind you. I break your hold. I break the curse of it. Come out. 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 All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. All that disturbance of the mind. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All that being disturbed. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out, all the way up out of there. All that disturbance of the mind. Come out, come out, come out. Living disturbed for hour after hour, day after day sometimes. Come out, 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 come out. Thinking that somebody's done something behind your back or they're out to get you, and they're really not, but you think they are because disturbia, disturbed mind, has come into effect in your mind. You have a disturbed mind that the spirit's working to disturb everything, to trouble you. Come out of there, all the way out. Troubled mind, come out, 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 come out. And no, I haven't seen a movie that's called Disturbia. It tastes what you're thinking, because I said Disturbia. That's just the word that came to my mind. I don't know. But still, I've seen that movie is out there, but I have not seen that movie, and don't really want to see that movie, because I don't like the name of the movie anyway. I don't think it would be a good movie. Keep coming out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Go. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Come out, come out. All that disturbed mind, all that disturbed, come out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. All the way out. In Jesus' name. All these spirits that come in through movies, too, come out through horror movies. You come out all the way of watching horror movies, movies of the occult. You come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All those Hollywood spirits of the occult, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Hollywood witchcraft, go, 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 all the way out. All the way out. That spirit of detachment, detached, feeling detached from God, detached from other people, feel like you could never make an attachment and feel like you're always separated. You come out, detachment. You come out, feeling detached. Come out, 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 out of there. All the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All that spirit of detachment. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Detachment, come out. Being detached, come out. In Jesus' name, all the way out. All the way out. All that detachment spirit. Go, 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 go. Keeps you detached. It keeps you separated. You see, can't connect. You see, like you can't even connect with God sometimes. Come out. All that detachment. Come out. I break the hold of detachment spirits. Come out. In Jesus' name. Oops, we're out of time. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for this deliverance time tonight and the message tonight and all the time that we've had here together. Bless everyone that's here live tonight and those who listen later. I ask you to bless them, minister to them, deliver them, and help them to see God bigger than they have ever seen him before, Father, and it just increase all the days of their lives, Father, that we continue to see God bigger and bigger and bigger all the days of our life, Father. And just keep revealing that bigness to us, Lord, as we seek your face, Father, in Jesus' name, and seal this deliverance that has been received tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good night, folks. Love you, and we will see you back next Friday night.
Yeah.
Okay, that was Torch of Prayer. That's the name of that song. Praise the Lord. So, time's a good night here, just about. So I'm grateful for you and your time that you've been here together with us here. And hope that you begin to let God show himself bigger than he's ever been in your life. Yeah. Wow. I'm enjoying his presence here. You know, there's just this afterglow, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. Some people call it that. Some people just call it the Holy Presence. So I'm enjoying it. I hope you enjoyed the presence of God too tonight. That, you know, because the Word brings forth His presence too. It has that capability. And when you hear the Word, His presence is released by the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit teaches, the the presence of God is released too. If you can set yourself in that position to where you can receive that presence, it's a glorious thing. And I know there's things that could be on your mind and rise up and try to distract or get you thinking, this, what about that? But you all recognize where these thoughts sometimes get planted from, too. You know, they're not, the what about this, what about that. Where's that coming from? You know, there's a lot of things that you just send along to distract us. And, you know, because the mind, it can handle so much more at a higher speed than we can ever listen to somebody talk or hear somebody talk or when they're talking to us. The mind can move a lot faster, see, and so there could be 100 distractions going on at the same time while you're trying to listen to the Word of God. So it takes practicing, focusing, and rebuking and removing everything that is not of the Spirit of God when you really want to get in there and get what you can from Him. Amen. Amen. It's what He wants. He wants us to pay attention to Him. Remember what He told Mary, Martha, about Mary. Mary has chosen the right thing. She's sitting at Jesus' feet. She tried not to be distracted, but Martha, Martha, you are distracted. You're cumbered about with many things, right? That's what He told her. And one thing is needful. And we need to remember what's needful in life because it's short. And then we go into eternity. So let's remember what's needful, amen. And Jesus is needful. The things of God are needful, that's for sure. I know we have to hold down jobs and do all these different things, but take care of needs of day-by-day life. But the most important is Jesus. All right, well, I'm going to sign out here for the night. I appreciate y'all listening and taking a little more time here after the broadcast here, after the church service, whatever we want to call our time that we do together here. Appreciate y'all being attentive, listening, and being here. Good night to you, and y'all have a blessed weekend. Our Ewans have a blessed weekend. Like you said, North Carolina, Ewans have a blessed weekend now. Or whatever state you're from. Anyway. You folks, have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you back next Friday night. Bye-bye now.